I'd like to call the City of Franklin Common Council meeting for January 23rd to order. Madam Clerk, could you call the roll?
Mayor Olson is excused. Alderman DeAndrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Here.
Alderman Nelson?
Here.
Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No, I will mention that now. As a Common Council President, and I'm sitting in for the mayor, with a council chamber of five members, I will be voting only to break a tie, so I will be acting as mayor, and the council will handle all votes. Except for vouchers.
And then you'll be voting as an alderman.
Then I'll be voting as an alderman. Thank you, Counselor. Citizen comment period. Is there anyone out there today that would like to make any comments? Not seeing anyone rise, we'll close the citizen comment period. Mayoral announcements. Letter from the Intergovernmental Corporation Council to State Senator Fitzgerald regarding SB 291. This is the dark store lawsuits that are going through the state of Wisconsin at this present time. Jesse, do you want to make any comments regarding this item?
No, the subject matter has been supported for legislation to prevent all of these decisions being made in the judicial branch, and the primary result and concern, I understand, of the Intergovernmental Cooperation Council, which is all of the Milwaukee County mayors and village presidents, is that what the real world effect is, that all residential property owners are picking up the tab for the lost taxes that are occurring as a result of these decisions.
Correct. So item B2A is in the agenda, and if you want to research this a little bit more thoroughly, you can do that at that time.
Mr. President?
Yes.
This is such an important issue. Why don't you just give a real, real brief summary of what the dark store legislation is and how it impacts us.
Okay. What's happening out there? There are large box stores, retail stores out there, and they're contesting the valuations of their tax assessment. Now, this is not just Franklin, but Franklin has several large box retail box stores that have lawsuits pending, and there is lawsuits that have gone through litigation already in other parts of the state. What's happening is they want to take the value of their building and they want it lowered. And in a lot of these instances, they want it devalued to blighted store scenarios, meaning a vacant store in another part of a community may not even be even related or demographically to a large box store here, but they're using it as a comparable in the appraisal process. And the courts are making these decisions rather than allowing the market to bear the proper number. So as taxpayers, we need you to talk to your legislators and tell them no, because if those stores are continually to be devalued to the point below their cost of construction, what's going to happen is we're going to all see that effect on our residential residential tax bills down the road. So we definitely need you to be proactive in this approach and call your legislators, call your congressmen, get them to understand that we don't believe that the courts should be making these decisions. This should be done by the market just like your residential houses, are done by the market, and it's unfair. And that's why the president, all the mayors of all the communities have signed this agreement to saying, hey, we don't like what's going on, and we need you to reverse this action.
Good job.
So we'll move on to the next item, which is a letter from Steve Olson regarding personnel changes and procedural changes. I've got to see where he's got this tabbed here. As you all know, we've experienced a number of retirement and resignations recently. I believe that these personnel changes offer management and the Common Council an opportunity to look at a way to serve our constituents and the way we do our work internally. This memo is to inform you all about the actions I will put into motion regarding our staff and operations.
You're going to read it?
I'm going to let you know that our Economic Development Director, Aaron Hertzberg, has tendered his resignation, and he will be leaving us as of February 2nd. There are some internal changes that will be happening within the Planning Department that he has informed the Council, and we do support those changes. We will be starting the process of looking for a new economic development director. But in the meantime, we've shifted some internal positions to be able to handle the workload and within the planning department to make things work. Also, regarding Fred Baumgart, who was in our, was he in the planning department? No. He was in the inspection department. He retired as well, and we've made some internal changes there along the way. So everything will be status quo within the office. Everybody is coming up to the plate to carry on some additional tasks, but they're all looking forward to continuing on to provide the services that you're all accustomed to. Approval of the minutes for January 9th, 2018. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Abstain.
Okay. Alderman Taylor abstains. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against?
Abstention.
And one abstention. Yeah. So four in favor, one abstention. The motion passes. I'm used to mine better. This is four votes.
One minimum.
Board of there is item in E is the following mayoral appointments has been submitted to the council. Do I have a motion for Richard Budney to serve on the personnel committee for an unexpired 3-year term expiring April 30th, 2019? District 2. Dan Mayer.
I'm not sure that that's District 2, 48th Street.
No.
I'll move to approve, though.
I think that's
yours.
Yeah, I think that's yours.
That's District. Okay, Mr. Taylor.
So moved. And by, yeah.
Second.
And we'll let Dan. Okay. All in favor?
No. Aye.
Or is this a roll call?
A roll call.
Okay, so we'll need a roll call on this vote.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
The motion passes. Four ayes, or five ayes, no, one against. The motion passes. Is Richard in the audience? Well, congratulations. Item G, G1, consent agenda.
I'll make the motion for consent agenda items A through D approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? The motion passes. Five in favor, none against.
Mr. President, Mayor. I just want to point out and shout out to the fire department. They secured a grant for $15,400 for suits for water rescue. These are not items that are nice to have. These are necessary items. And so this grant takes it off of the tax rolls that we would normally be putting onto the tax rolls to get. And so I commend the fire department for doing this. And grants aren't always easy to get, and they don't just come easily. Someone has to take the initiative to find the grant and then take the initiative to write the grant, and then they're usually pretty competitive. So I commend the fire department. This is money that they needed that would have been funded by the taxes. But maybe the chief wants to say a word about that.
Chief.
I would just like to take a second to recognize Lieutenant Sean Ganser, who's sitting quietly in the back of the room. He is our dive squad leader. This would not have happened without his dedication and persistence. He put this grant together and actually applied for it multiple times before we received it. So thanks to Sean, this happened.
Thank you, Chief.
Excellent.
And which one is Sean?
Can you stand up, please?
Hey, thank you, Sean, very much. And just so the citizens understand, as Alderman Mayor mentioned, when we go for a grant, it's highly competitive. And this helps all of us to offset some of our tax dollars or allow us to do services that we may not be able to do originally. So,
and Mr. President, I just want to add that I'm thankful that some of the money that I always round up when I eat there is actually coming back to Franklin because I love their subs, you know.
It was started by a firefighter, too. Firehouse subs, go figure.
Yeah. Well, they had time.
G2. Presentation of the revised feasibility analysis for incremental tax district number 5, including Ballpark Commons, by Ehlers, Inc.
If you don't mind, I'll tee it up.
Sure, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks. So Ehlers is our financial consultant way back in June of 2016, conducted the initial feasibility analysis for the TIF district, which eventually became TID 5 in the city of Franklin. You later approved the project plan for that on September 6th, then eventually the Joint Review Board approved it on September 21st to create the district. Back in March of 2017, we started to understand more about plan revisions that were coming to the project. That obviously has an impact on the financials associated with it. So in August, it gave authorization for us to re-engage Ehlers to revise the financial analysis. As the project has changed over time with new information and market-driven changes, we've been staying attuned to that and updating the numbers. What you're going to see tonight in terms of the feasibility analysis is based on the most recent plan approvals. So on January 9th, there were changes to the PDD. As part of that, there was a revised site plan. That's what we base these financial models on. There's been some discussion that in the future the applicant could apply for senior housing. We did do some analysis on that. We're not presenting it tonight because that's not what's been approved already by the council. We have that information. So we can talk about that at a later date if the applicant does eventually come back and ask to include senior housing as part of the project. The other thing I want to mention is that there's been questions from citizens regarding the changes to the project and how that impacts the market analysis that we completed early in the review of our project. I've stayed in communication with John Malanafy, who's the firm that did our independent market analysis for the project. He continues to suggest that the market is strong, good for these types of uses. I asked him specifically about some of the planned changes to the indoor-outdoor sports complex, including the inclusion of the high-tech golf facility and the inclusion of a medical component for the indoor sports complex. Both of those he suggested support for, expectation that would raise values. The golf concept he's got some familiarity with and mentioned that those units tend to expand the trade area for a project like this, meaning a larger audience will be attracted to the complex, which is encouraging for economics associated with the project. As we go forward with other things, we can continue to communicate with John regarding that. I'll also note that I've had communication with the development team. They have privately updated their market analysis for the apartment complex. If you've been following the news at all, there's been a few suggestions that the Milwaukee apartment market is getting a little saturated, particularly in the downtown area. It was encouraging to hear from them that they've ran their own revision to that market analysis as late as December, so just a month ago, and had positive traction for moving forward with the apartment component. So I just want to set those concerns aside that we are continuing to update the market side of the evaluation and gather feedback for that, and happy to provide input going forward from others within staff. But having talked a little bit about the market side, I'm going to turn it over to Dawn from Ehlers to present further on the revisions she's made.
Thank you.
Welcome, Dawn.
One of the items that we were engaged to review was there a need to amend your project plan to undertake the change in the scope of project?
Chief, speak in a mic, please. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
This is a better microphone.
Sorry. One of the items that we were engaged to review as part of revisiting the financial analysis was it necessary to amend the project plan in order to take on the change in the scope of projects for the development? And the language in the original project plan allowed for expansion in terms of overall project cost. These changes will keep you within that allowance, so there's not a need to amend just to undertake the change in the dollar amounts of the project cost. So with that, the financial analysis that was provided to you in your packets on page one of that document, this is the new scope of project costs that have been identified as needed to undertake for the development.
Yes. On that first page, when you look at phase three and phase four, it says 2017.
Yeah, and I just realized that I left the phasing as we had it in the original project plan so you could kind of track the two schedules the same. There is really the pieces that were in phase three that were 17 have been moved over into the 18 phase. The phase four, which at the time was 17, is now, that should have been changed to 18. So basically what we're looking at is the projects as identified now by the developer would need to be undertaken during 2018, including the what's identified as the phase four, which would be the economic incentive to be provided, which would probably be, if entertained, would be part of your development agreement and probably would be triggered at the beginning of the development in 2018. So, but thanks for pointing that out. So, there's a phase with no numbers. Everything that was in that phase has been moved into the phase one and phase two that are now 2018. So the projects that have been identified are related to infrastructure improvements. One of the main changes in terms of cost to this plan is the methane collection system on the site. That's about $3.9 million. That previously was not identified as a cost in the original project plan. There's been some infrastructure improvements related to the intersection improvements, and as have been identified by the city, and some other changes in terms of the scope of the utility cost. So at present, the total projects that would be attributed to the TIF would be about $27,500,000 in project cost. On page two, as Aaron mentioned, there's been somewhat of a change in the site plan. This is the most recent estimate for value that has been provided by the developer for the specifics within the development site, the projects north of Ross and the projects south of Rawson, and then the existing facility. The timing and the phasing has been, again, provided by the developer. They looked at the cost of construction, and we've been discounting that to 85% in terms of us to come with an assessed value for purposes of calculating the potential cash flow of the district. So, again, these are the items that have been provided to us. As Aaron mentioned, I think one of the scopes that may change in this is if that senior housing component comes in. We did do run some sensitivity analysis on this, actually multiple sensitivity analysis. If some of the development doesn't happen, if that senior housing comes in, that actually probably would provide improvement to the cash flow in that value of that component would be greater than what it would be replacing in this plan. So it's about $125 million. That includes the value that has currently been assessed by the Department of Revenue from the time the district was created, which is about $1.2 million in value that's been generated. That's determined as probably the property that was purchased that previously was DOT property that's been now privately owned and has a tax base to it. On page three is the projection of the cash flow and the revenue stream. We've taken the values that we have on the previous page, incorporated that here. We make a forecasting for a future revenue stream on that based upon those values. We're consistent with the original project plan in that we've assumed no appreciation. So we're assuming that the value comes online and it's not growing in value. We're also assuming no depreciation of property. So we're leaving that value constant through the life of the district. And as well as we're decreasing the tax rate by 1% per year. So we've started with the current equalized tax rate for the city, and we're declining that 1% a year, put some conservativeness in the numbers. So the green column on this schedule, assuming that everyone has this in color, is that forecast of the revenue stream, and it's that revenue stream that will ultimately pay for any project costs that are undertaken. So moving then to the fourth page, we've run this analysis with two methods. One is borrowing for the city undertaking debt financing for all of the projects up front in one debt issue. So this on page four is the structuring of the financing plan. The first column is a 2018. For purposes of this scheduling, we've assumed everything being a taxable general obligation bond. We're waiting to get clarification from the bond attorneys on what we may be able to put, if anything, under a tax-exempt borrowing. But it's a higher interest rate to use it taxable, so we've built that into the financing plan. We've also assumed that there's some carrying cost or capitalizing of interest to cover for the point where the increment is available to make the debt service payments. There are also, as identified in the previous pages, some incentive to be provided to the developer. These would be done in what's referred to as a municipal revenue obligation or a PAYGO financing, where they would receive that money over the course of time after the city's obligations are covered. And there's two of those. One would be a 3.5 for an incentive up front. The other is for some future costs related to the methane system for 1.5. And then on the first of the larger pull-out pages is the cash flow projections based upon all these assumptions. So working this schedule from left to right, the year is the budget year or the year in terms of the financial year. This district was created in 16. The first time we start collecting taxes is this year, and that's based on that $1.2 million. So that tax revenue stream comes from the previous schedule, our projections of the increment collection. The interest earnings is any earnings on bond proceeds as well as earnings on fund balance. We've capitalized interest. So there's in recognizing that if you borrow the money in 18, you need to ramp up till that revenue starts coming in a little greater in order to make payments. So we've capitalized that. We've then incorporated that capitalized interest in the bond proceeds that will pay for your project costs. And all the columns that are under the blue then are the expenditures, this taxable obligation bond. We've made some estimates on interest rates. If this was issued sometime this spring, principal and interest payments related to that. The next section of numbers is the municipal revenue obligation to the development as an incentive. These are estimated. You know, you'll be negotiating the terms of all of this, and that's for further consideration by the council is the actual agreement to support this project. We've put an interest rate in there, but that is yet to be determined in terms of your negotiations with the development or with the developer. There's the payments then on that the municipal obligation. They would come behind the debt service payments of the city, so you would not pay anything out on that until any obligations that the city incurred were paid first. So if the increment is not available to make those payments, they would not be made. You'd certainly cover the city's obligations first. And then at the future point in time, there would be this other obligation at a later point, 2031 or 2035. We've moved that around at a couple different dates. Then the project cost would all be incurred in 2018, and we've identified the issuance expenses there. There'd be some ongoing administrative expenses as well. And based upon this cash flow, the district would close in 2035, which is 2 years earlier than allowed. And that would satisfy the city's commitments, also pay out to the developer any incentives that might be offered. The one other thing that in the far right here that we've highlighted is kind of a protection to the city's obligation to, and again, this is to be negotiated in the developer's agreement, but to protect the city to their obligation before you started paying any principal or interest on, or at least principal on the municipal revenue obligation, you would build up some reserve funds so that you knew you had enough money to pay the highest amount of principal and interest on your outstanding debt. So I've highlighted the point at which that would happen in 2023. So that's